Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we are officially back. The football season is upon us. By the time you're listening to this, there may be football on your TV. Eagles and Cowboys kicking off the season on Thursday Night Football. Then we have the Chiefs and the Chargers in Brazil on Friday Night Football. And then the Packers host for the first time since, what, 2020? They have a home opener, first time in LaFleur's tenure as head coach of the Packers against the division winners, the Detroit Lions. So lots of really good football this upcoming week to launch the start of the season. I know we teased a guest. That guest had scheduling conflicts, but they will be back later in the season, rest assured. Perry, before we get started, it's here. We did it.
We did it. I'm so happy. I cannot wait. This is Christmas. I'm also so excited for this matchup. I know that this is like really starting off the season with a bang. And I feel like a lot of people are going to have a lot of thoughts after this game, whether it's positive or negative. There's going to be no neutrality after this one. But I think it's just such a perfect way to start the season. Like, it's going to be an amazing game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's how you want to start the season as the Packers. We know that division games were kind of the thorn in Green Bay's side last season. You don't finish with an 11-6 record and then, you know, lose five divisional games, right? Like, this is a team that was playing out of its mind except for against its, you know, most familiar faces. So I think this is how you want to start. You want to see kind of where you stack up against the division winners from last season, and what better way to do it than at Lambeau Field for once instead of being on the road. So really exciting for that. Really quickly, we did, you know, tease this pre-show before we hit record, but not as, you know, big of news as last week's signing, but the Packers did extend kicker or punter Daniel Whelan. So, you know, Goody just stays making moves, right? Some are big, some are not as large as Micah Parsons, but Daniel Whelan locked up in Green Bay for the foreseeable future, which does mean a lot to special teams. He's a very good punter.
But all important in the grand scheme of this team sport we call football. Okay, let's get into it. Where do you want to start?
I think that we just start right at the beginning. Let's talk about the offense with a healthy Jordan Love, because I think that is going to be kind of one of the focal points early in the season. Last season, it felt like we never truly got a glimpse at healthy Jordan Love, right? He got injured week one against Philly, and then he didn't play two games, and we got the Malik Willis experiment, which was, you know, weirdly fun and enjoyable, and he led the team to two wins. And then right when it felt like he was coming back, he started dealing with like the groin and the hamstring stuff. So then, of course, it doesn't bode well if, you know, late in the preseason he injures his non-throwing thumb. But it sounds like, by all accounts, he is healthy, ready to play, ready to put kind of last season behind him. And I thought he still had a good last season. So I think he's going to reach another tier in 2020.
I'm so ready to watch him sling it. Like, I'm so excited. I hope they unleash him a little bit more than what we saw last season. I hope that what we saw, like, conservative Jordan was due to injury or maybe a little bit of, like, you know, getting the scaries from the amount of turnovers. But I'd really like to see, like, just kind of the gunslinger Jordan meeting, like, you know, third year starter with a lot of knowledge under his belt. And I think that's at least like what I'm expecting him to look like. Super excited about his weapons. They added Matthew Golden. We'll see him for the first time on Sunday. Expecting like a big leap out of Tucker Kraft. Jaden Reed practiced today, which is great news for him. He's been dealing with that foot injury. Would love to see, you know, Dontavian Wicks fix some of the drop issues he was having last season, because his rookie season was very promising. We're going to get a healthy Luke Musgrave this season. So a lot of two tight end sets that we've been craving. We've been talking about them forever. So just like a lot of excitement, I think, around his pass catchers. And then, of course, just I can't wait to see year two of Josh Jacobs and what this run game is going to look like. That was really like their foundation last season, especially when everyone was hurt and QBs were kind of going in and out. You could always rely on Josh Jacobs, and he's going to be running against potentially an even better offensive line this year if all the upgrades pan out. So a lot to be excited about, very little to not be excited about.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up the offensive line, because, you know, Rashid Walker wins that job to be the starting left tackle. Jordan Morgan is the primary backup at that spot. Then, of course, like you said, they brought in Aaron Banks to play left guard. Elton Jenkins slots in at center. Sean Ryan wins the starting right guard job, although he is listed as the team's backup center behind Elton Jenkins. So if he, for some reason, needs to slide inside, then you've got Darian Kinnard, who the Packers signed you know, to come onto the 53 during the waiver process. And then right tackle is, of course, Zach Tom, who got his big extension backed up by Anthony Belton. So two, you know, very young players, Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton, are your, you know, backup tackles. And then you've got some more experience, veteran depth on the interior. But I agree with you. I think this is a kind of a rejuvenated offensive line. I'm really excited to get looks at Elton Jenkins in, you know, now that he's had an entire offseason to rep this. He was also back at practice. So we'll get to the defense, but Nate Hobbs. So everybody really back and practicing in some capacity. Seems like the offensive line will be ready to go. And,
and they're going to have a test. They're gonna have a test. I mean, the Lions are getting Aiden Hutchinson back, and I think after a gruesome injury, you temper expectations a little bit. Like, I just remember watching even like Rashawn Gary took him like half a season to look like himself when he came back. But they do have Aiden Hutchinson back. They have a very good offense. I mean, they have a very good defense. Jack Campbell, who was a fan favorite, went to the wrong team. Of course, that secondary is absolutely like bananas with Terry Arnold and Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph. And they added DJ Reed this offseason. So definitely a test. I mean, if you're, you know, we're talking about like very excited about the offensive side of the ball, but they're going up against like, again, one of the best teams in the league last season, and a defense that can really cause some nightmares. So it will be good to see, you know, the Packers offense at up against the Lions as like that barometer going into the season. Again, I try not to overreact too much in week one, but like, it's a really good litmus test for them.
Yeah. And, you know, they are getting Aiden Hutchinson back, to your point, could have some lingering issues. Although if there's anybody you'd expect to kind of shake the rust off, it's probably a guy like Aiden Hutchinson. But that is a pretty banged up front right now. I think, you know, their starters are all set to play, but a lot of depth is dealing with kind of some lingering injuries. And we saw this defense have to kind of reshape its identity numerous times last season with all the injuries that they dealt with last year. Didn't seem to hamper them a ton because they still won the division, won that first seed in the NFC. But I do think that it says a lot about kind of what pieces they have and some pieces they lost, including, of course, their defensive coordinator. So really, it was going to be interesting to get a kind of new look at these two new coordinators for the Lions and seeing if that does make a heck of a lot of difference, because we've seen the Packers go through it with new defensive coordinators, and it can take a while to get up to speed and to learn a new system.
Totally. Great point. I also think with the Lions defense, like when you're up two scores almost every single game, of course your defense is going to have an easier time. So I am, again, to your point, lost offensive coordinator. It's for sure going to affect their offense, and how kind of those two things impact each other if the offense is maybe not clicking as well as it did last season.
I do have one thought for you before we shift to the defense, or I guess something I want your opinion on. Okay. And it is, while Matthew Golden, he's listed as a starter, right? Mm-hmm. And Jaden Reed is banged up.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think he plays in his first game as a rookie?
Oh, interesting question. I expect him to be a full participant in the game. I actually thought you were going to ask, how much do you think he plays in the slot?
Oh,
Because Jaden Reed's banged up.
I will love that when it happens. So good foreshadowing.
But yeah, I mean, look, the Packers have – they're a rotation, right? Like, not everyone is always in on every snap. No wide receiver is at all. So it may look like he's not playing nearly as much, but I can't imagine that he's going to be any less than 100%. I mean, he's been with them since the draft. He knows the playbook. He's been going with the ones all preseason. Is there anything that makes you pause and question whether or not he's going to play like 100%?
Just because we see the Packers have like a tendency to like ease rookies in regardless of their position. Obviously Jordan Morgan didn't win a starting job last year. We a defensive side of the ball, you know, they brought in a guy like Rashawn Gary who sat behind the Smith bros. So I do think Matthew Golden, I was going to say, I agree that he'll have like a pretty large role on offense, but it wouldn't necessarily have surprised me if he was like wide receiver 4 on the depth chart just for the first couple games if everybody was healthy. But I think the Jaden Reed potential to be kind of banged up changes things.
I don't know. I feel like the guys that you mentioned were like taken in the first round as projects.
True.
Where sitting was like kind of expected. And I don't think that that's, I think Matthew Golden was taken to play immediately, like an immediate impact.
Yeah. Not being able to see the field. He's needed.
Totally. So that's just why I'm like, it just felt like pass, go collect $200, like go buy some houses. So I don't know if I could see them reeling it back in, especially for this big of a matchup.
Yeah, I've been having this internal debate, right? I'm not going to be at the game on Sunday, but I know that Jordan Love kind of joked that he has this vision of the defense getting announced and Micah Parsons being the last one announced, getting to run out of the tunnel and Lambeau just like erupting. Yeah. And while I agree that's what I think maybe will happen and it'd be really cool, I could see the flip side of that where Matthew Golden getting announced with the offense would also be pretty electric for being the first wide receiver taken in Green Bay in, you know, 23, 24 years, however long it's been, and getting that kind of ovation for the offense.
Fun. Very fun. Any other thoughts on the Lions defense as like a matchup?
I just think it's to your point, going to be really important for these receivers to win their one-on-ones. And yeah. I think that's where a guy like Matthew Golden shines too. You said it already. It's a really, really strong secondary. We know kind of what the pass rush looks like in Detroit, and we've seen Zach Tom and Rashid Walker perform admirably against some really good edge rushers. So I think it's going to be about these wide receivers. I think Romeo Doubs has to have a really big game as kind of the veteran presence. He had a whole segment on Total Packers about how he's got the best hands on the team, and, you know, Jordan has so much trust in him. And, you know, I think that maybe there's like a fan perception that fans aren't as high on him as the building is. And I don't know if that means anything for him going into a contract year, but I think that we shouldn't discount the kind of role that he still is going to have on this offense and could have even a larger role with somebody like Matthew Golden kind of taking attention on a lot of these deep routes.
Right. No, yeah, 100%. Are you at all, I just thought of this. I'm not asking this question because I feel a certain way, but I think it's worth asking. Are we at all like concerned, not concerned? Yeah, maybe concerned about the transition of Elgton Jenkins over to center. I mean, that's not just like we've seen him move around. I'll say this. We have seen him move around. He is, you know, excellent, great, whatever adjective you want to use everywhere he goes. And I know he was drafted as a center. I mean, they have always thought like, we think this guy can be an all-pro center, but that also he's never played it consistently. Snapping the ball to Jordan Love, we had fumble issues last year with that. So like, where are we with, are we like, no worries, Elgton Jenkins locked in there, you know, like put that to bed, I don't care? Or you're like, yeah, I mean, there could be like some transitional hiccups.
I think if it was happening like week 5, which I know they have a bye this year on week 5, but you know what I mean? Like middle of the season or in game, like Josh Myers got hurt and he had to come in there, I'd feel a little more nervous about it. But the fact that this move happened so early in the offseason and he's had all that time to acclimate, and he's also got Adam Stenovich and Luke Butkus and some really good coaches and, you know, coordinators around him to ease the transition. It was, like you said, his primary role in college. So it's something that, you know, you think is like riding a bike, right? And he hasn't done it with Jordan, but I think that he had expressed interest in making the move in the past, and the opportunity came up this season, and it felt like a good marriage for the Packers and for Elton. So I think he is, you know, supremely comfortable with it, and that's going to make the difference.
True. Okay. All right. Elton at center.
I know. I can't wait to see it. Let's talk about the defense now. Okay. And maybe let's start with the Micah Parsons in the room. And just how much does he play in his first game?
Okay. I know. I feel like Matt LaFleur was being like purposely cagey about it. Like, I feel like he's going to be 100% a go. And again, like, the Packers will rotate their guys. He's not going to be on the field for every single snap, nor should he be. But like, I cannot see his usage being really any less than full participant, unless of course, like, the back issue that he, you know, is dealing with, is that big of a problem. But I also read, like, so I don't remember, I shouldn't go off of Twitter doctors. That's probably bad. But like, I did read that like his injury is something that, like, I'm sure multiple NFL players are deal with on like a regular basis. And like, we don't hear anything about it. So I'm really not that concerned about his health. I'm really not that concerned about him like getting up to speed by the playbook, because I've heard he's a high football IQ. So I'm saying 100.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to outsnap Rashawn Gary. And I would hedge and say he doesn't outsnap LVN week one.
Okay.
But I think give it week two, even maybe week three, because week two is a Thursday night, you know, really quick turnaround, and he'll be out there 80% of the time, or, you know, whatever he's been. And I think, of course, when it's third and eight plus, it's going to be, hey, Micah, see ball, get ball. Like, just go. Like, if anything, you don't have to worry about it. Like, is he going to be out there on first downs?
Probably not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But is he going to be there in obvious passing situations when he has to get after a quarterback? Yes.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think, like, he's going to be such a difference maker. Let's say he plays 50% of defensive snaps, right? To your point, like, it's Rashawn, LVN, him. Just for like week one, he's still such a difference maker that, like, regardless of how often he plays, like, you know, he's going to wreck something. The Lions historically have one of the best offensive lines. They obviously also had some shuffling this offseason, and we're going to see. I mean, I see two new names that I don't know. So, but I feel like I give them the benefit of the doubt, like, very similarly to the Packers, like, always have very strong offensive lines. And of course still have Taylor Decker at left tackle. But to me, like, I would have, this is, if I was going to put money on it going into this game, I would have been like, okay, I'm giving the nod to the Lions, even though they're in Green Bay. But now with such a game wrecking pass rush, I'm feeling like he tilts it for me, where I feel like Green Bay actually gets the nod in who's going to take over this matchup.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you still have really quality bookend tackles, right? You said it, Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, probably the best tandem, if not, you know, top three tackle tandems in the league. But I think there's going to be an opportunity to take some lunch money from the interior before they get up to speed. Like you said, three names. Glasgow changed to center, although he was a guard for them last year. Still a really talented player, but two new guards for them. Kenny makes a difference to me. And obviously that, you know, can't change now. Kenny is playing tonight in a couple hours.
Yeah.
We'll get to see Kenny. But those guys are going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting. Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks. And I think that Micah Parsons gives them a lot of versatility to have Lucas Van Ness stand up over center and get really creative with some of these, like, NASCAR packages that we like to see, that are from, like, the Packers Super Bowl era. And they're going to have to get creative. And I think that that is where the weakness is of this Lions offense. If they can generate pressure on the inside, it's also going to make a difference for Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, because that is, again, probably top, if not top three, running back tandems in the NFL. So that's where the Packers are going to have to win, is the interior of the O-line. And they're just going to have to get in Jared Goff's face a ton.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is one of those situations where if you suss out like one of these new guys potentially as the weak link, then you just exploit that all day long. And that can either be with Micah Parsons, or you set him up, you know, you set Rashawn up across from that guy, potentially, you know, like expecting Micah to take a double team from somebody who can actually handle him. But I think either way, there's going to be some favorable matchups for one of our three edge rushers too.
And I think to that point, Edgerrin Cooper is just going to have
a 100%
monster game.
Well, I'm currently thinking like about just simply like the four man rush. Yes. You're not even looking at like the Edgerrin Cooper blitz, the potential like DB blitz, the bringing more pressure, sending five, sending six. So once you get into that place, I feel really confident that the Packers can get home. But like, it's a new thing to be confident in the Packers four man rush. And to your point, like about Jared Goff, he's such a different quarterback when he's pressured. I say this with a knock, like he's probably going to run now, but he's not a runner. Like he's a comfortable, true pocket passer. And he is a very different guy when he's pressured and has somebody in his face. I would actually love, there was a game last season, I don't remember which one, I watched it on QBs, where he got sacked like seven times. So if you can get to him, I mean, you completely change the makeup of this game, because you mentioned the running backs, but like they have an excellent set of pass catchers as well. I mean, Amon-Ra is like one of the best in the league at the moment. Sam Laporta, also one of the best tight ends in the league. So they're going to create, or at least try to create, explosive plays and play off of the fact that the Packers cornerback room is, they match up more favorably. There are wide receivers and tight ends against the Packers cornerback room than the cornerback room matches up against them. And they're going to look to exploit that as expected. But I think there's a way for Jeff Hafley to work around that weakness.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's where I wanted to go next with this is, you know, Micah Parsons has talked about the impact that the front makes on the back end. And that's been needed for this Packer secondary. We, you know, Jair didn't play last season. We knew he was questionable to stay on the team this season. We knew cornerback was going to be a question mark, to put it nicely, for this roster. And Micah Parsons obviously makes a huge difference to come in and elevate the rest of the squad.
Right.
Really, really strong safety tandem, really strong inside linebackers. Like, there are ways to mitigate some of these risk factors. We haven't seen Nate Hobbs play yet. You know, we don't know what that looks like. He's still dealing with a lingering injury, but back practicing in a limited capacity, potentially will be out there on Sunday. But that is, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I wanted to go next, was this cornerback room probably is the liability of the entire roster.
Yeah.
You know, is it fair to say that? That's the weakness of the roster until proven otherwise. And unfortunately, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams are not really the wide receiver tandem that you want to see week one when you're trotting out a new alignment in your secondary. Javon Bullard, you know, goes into year two as the nickel. So that will be, you know, interesting to see. I think he pairs up really nicely with Sam Laporta. You know, he's a big body nickel if he can get the hang of the position, which we think that he can. He had like a very quiet but very good training camp by the sound of it. So he is sure to take a jump. But yeah, I think a lot of it is going to come down to what do these boundary corners look like against two of the best at their positions.
Yeah. I mean, two that are just like exceptional at finding space on the field for them to either beat the coverage that they have or get additional yardage after the catch. So, I mean, the Packers are going to have to play like very tight, very clean football. I'm expecting it to be a high scoring game, like regardless of how I feel about both of these defenses. That actually came out of my mouth and I didn't know that that was a thought in my head. But as we're discussing this game, I do feel like there's going to be, yes, like there's going to be scoring. I also, like, how much of this how much of like the week one of it all do you put into this? Like, I always wonder that. I'm like, there's have been some really weird, like really wonky week one games. I actually think it's less likely with such a common opponent. But I'm like, I don't know. Week one's strange, man.
Let's kind of wrap there.
Okay, sorry.
No, but I mean, like, let's dive into that. What kind of score are you thinking? And, you know, where does this, who wins the game and why? And on the strength of who?
Yeah, it's going to be close. Again, like, I give the nod to Green Bay. I think if Green Bay was away, I would give the nod to Detroit. Like, I really think this is like a very pick'em game. I think if the Packers run away with this, if their pass rush just like creates issues for Jared Goff all day long, that to me is like, I don't know how you get around that. And they also haven't been able to game plan for Micah Parsons for that long, right? This is a new coordinator, potentially a new offense, and now you have 1 week's notice to game plan for the one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. That's tough sledding. But if Jared Goff has answers for the rush, then the Packers are going to have to play the best coverage of their lives. And that could be the problem to me. If we're talking defensively, offensively, I mean, I'm definitely like a little worried about some of the same struggles as last season, the drops, and getting into like unfavorable third down situations where you can't lean on Josh Jacobs, right? It's very obvious that you're going to pass. I'm hopeful that everyone takes that step, that Matthew Golden is like that extra kind of juice that they need, that Jordan is healthy, like all the things that we talked about kind of mitigate those things. But that to me is like, if the Packers come out slow, like, you know, like an early third and out, and like they can't get anything going, like the Lions can score on you quick. And then that's usually when it spirals.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, like, I know that we talked about this with Andy after the first preseason game where it was like, are you still afraid of a lot of the same boogeymen from last season? And this is going to be where we decide that, right? Like, a lot of the penalties that were happening for like illegal formations, those guys aren't playing, right? Like, those guys aren't your starters. A lot of the drops you're hoping are things that kind of clean themselves up, and no self-inflicted wounds. And I agree with you. Like, I think the Packers need to come out, like, when Matt LaFleur is in his bag and those first 15 are scripted, you know, it's a thing of beauty. But if he gets kind of off his spot and he has to pivot, and like you said, it's like a quick three and out, and you burned 30 seconds off the clock, and then the Lions get to like march down the field and just demoralize you at home, like, then that's tough sledding to recover from. This is also the number one scoring offense in football last season, to your point about the Lions. So they were averaging 33 points a game last year. Like, I'm just really curious to see what this offense looks like with their new offensive coordinator. Yeah. And I think that is the only sticking point for me, is this offense going to be as explosive? And I feel like you have to say yes, right? Because the pieces are the same, the coordinator's different. So the assumption would be that a new coordinator can come in and use those same pieces effectively. But I think the counter argument is Ben Johnson was kind of on another level with some of the things that he was doing last season.
Yeah, he was. I think from a prediction standpoint, like, when I say high scoring, I don't mean like, I'm not talking like high 30s. I'm thinking like 27-23, right? Like 31-27, like somewhere in there. We're going to see some scoring. We're going to see some, hopefully, ass kicking, some sacks. But I do think we're going to see some touchdowns. If you're going to the game, you're going to see some touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. The number that popped into my head was 27-24, okay. Packers at home. And I think, you know, that's maybe the optimistic homer take because it's week one of the season and we want to see the progression of this team. But I think when you factor in Matthew Golden, even though he's a rookie, and kind of the infusion of Micah Parsons and just the pure energy that those kind of players bring to the locker room. And, you know, I put it on Blue Sky a couple of days ago when the Micah Parsons trade happened, but your expectation now is Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So like you can't come out flat against your division at home when you finally get an opener. And I'm not saying that the sky is going to be falling if they lose this game, right? You said it, week one is wonky. We're going to see some probably weird scores, and teams that are going to be not great this year could, you know, pull off an upset because it's week one and nobody has film on anybody. And it's kind of the nature of the beast, but I do think the expectations are high, and I think the Packers are going to feel that at Lambeau. And I think that that might be enough to pull off their win on a short week before they face off against the Commanders.
Okay. I love it.
Cool. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. We made it. That's how I feel. We made it.
We made it. And we will be back, obviously, after the game to talk about whatever the final outcome may be. And then we'll turn around really quickly with a Commanders preview because the Packers are playing on a short week. And we're going to talk about that as well. But enjoy it. Enjoy the opener tonight. Enjoy Friday Night Football. And then enjoy a full slate of games on Sunday. Another division game on Monday between the Vikings and the Bears. So lots of really good football to keep an eye on this weekend. But thank you, as always, for listening. You know where to find us on YouTube, Spotify, all over the internet at Packs What She Said and PWSS Podcast. Please like and subscribe to the show on YouTube if you don't already. Share it with your friends who are looking for new Packers podcasts to get into. We appreciate it. And go Pack Go. We did
it. Go Pack Go.